Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a well-known writer who originally started out in the entertainment industry as an actress. Ala Mel is my guest today. As a writer, she has interviewed and written articles and books about some of the biggest names in television, movies, and fashion icons. Highlights of Ala Mel's outstanding career are coming up. Stay with us.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Fine light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, we're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star I see, a vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds.
Interview with writer Ala Mel is coming up. She has been featured on CBS's The Insider, The New York Times, and Glamour magazines. When we come back, Ala talks about what inspired her to become a writer and how her writing experience led to meeting celebrities like Martha Stewart and working with the hit TV series Project Runway.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
I would like to welcome Isla Mel. Isla is a writer and co-host of the podcast Jiffy Pop Culture with Frank Liotti. Welcome to the show, Isla.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. Good to have you. So you're a writer who has interviewed, you've interviewed the likes of Neil Patrick Harris, Carol Burnett, Donna Karen, Michael Kors. I mean, the list is fabulous. Brian
Just a
Cranston.
Few people no one's ever heard of.
no one's ever heard of these people before. Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Tommy Hilfiger, come on now.
Right.
How and when did your career get started?
Well, so my career got started kind of by accident. Right after college, I was an actor for 10 years, and sort of the end of that career, I had auditioned for a soap opera It came down to me and, you know, just a couple of other people. And it ended up going to this unknown actress at the time who turned out to be Parker Posey. And so later on, you know, because when you lose a role to someone, you sort of follow them just to see, like, what they're doing.
Exactly.
So I followed her career for a bit, and she did this movie called Party Girl. And it gave me the idea for a book. I had never written before, but it just made me want to write about people who were almost cast in movies and television and the stories, why they weren't cast or why they turned it down or, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what I did. It took me 8 years to actually get it published because I knew, never having written before, that I had to actually finish the book before I did anything with it. I knew I couldn't sell a book on my reputation because I didn't have one at that point. So it took a couple of years to write and then a really long time to figure out the process of getting it published. But eventually it worked out. You know, I'm happy to say that that happened.
Yeah. So how did you, as far as the interviews are concerned, I mean, how did you get started with that, with interviewing these icons, I mean, these people that you interviewed?
Well, so many of them happened because of books that I was writing. I do a lot of, well, all nonfiction books, so I often interview people. And then I also, for a while, covered Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week. I wrote a book called New York Fashion Week, and then I was invited to go to the shows and interview people. And so, you know, that's where I spoke with a lot of the fashion people on that list. And like Martha Stewart, also, she's not a fashion person, but she goes to a lot of, she's interested in fashion for sure, and she's at the shows a lot. There was a time when I ran into Martha Stewart everywhere I went, in the pet store, at parties, at fashion shows. It was just the strangest
thing. So you're
thing.
Another Snoop Dogg. You're another Snoop Dogg,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. So I interview a lot of people like you, and it's so much fun because you just get to jump into someone else's life for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love all the people that I get to meet. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you describe your approach to writing?
Yes. So, you know, I think a lot about what I want to write about. And then when I have an idea that really I can't stop thinking about, then I jump in. And so I think about it first. And I kind of write books in my head before I ever write them down on my computer. And I always figure out what the content is going to be. So I'll figure a table of contents. That's the very first step. And once I have that, you know, it's relatively easy, not easy, but, you know, straightforward, filling in the information that's going to go in. It's just really figuring out what the book is going to be. And then I do a lot of research and interviews, and then the fun part starts. But that figuring out, that's the hardest part for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. I love to hear how people approach their writing, because everybody has a different story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you ensure accuracy in your work?
Well, so what I do, you know, I always, when I interview someone, I always do everything I can to ensure that I'm communicating what they, not only what they say, but the intention behind it, because sometimes someone can say something, but reading it on the page, it doesn't come across the way that they intended it. So I will always send what I'm going to print to them for their approval. And I don't have to, but I want to, because I want them to be happy and I want to represent them in the way that they want to be represented. So that's really what I do to ensure accuracy. But I also, if it's not an interview, you know, I'll do a lot of research and I'll get numerous sources for something, because I, you know, that's definitely a concern. You don't want to write something that's not accurate. You don't want to have misinformation.
Right. You really have to pay attention to detail. That's for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. Can you discuss your most difficult writing assignment?
Well, I had to, so I was writing this book called The Art of Fashion, and it was a journal. And so you wouldn't think that that would be difficult, because there's not a lot of writing in a journal, but it actually turned out to be a challenge for me, because it was a guided journal, and I was not someone who really used journals. I don't, you know, I write for work, so I don't do a lot of writing for fun. You know, my work is fun, so I don't, you know, I get my writing out in my work. So so I wasn't really sure how to approach this guided journal. And then, because there was sort of no rules at all to it, it was just fashion was the subject, but then it was completely up to me to determine what was going to go into this journal. You know, that was a real challenge, figuring out, because it wasn't like my books where there's, you know, a basic story that you know you're going to tell going in. So that was sort of amorphous.
Right. That really shows your problem-solving skills.
Yeah. It took a while, but I got there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. Wow. What are common traps for aspiring writers?
Well, you know, I think not writing, putting off writing is a big hurdle. I mean, it seems so basic, but you know, I do know that when I started writing, I didn't even tell anybody I was doing it, because I didn't want to sort of get stuck in that of talking about it and then not following through. You have to really be self-motivated. And so, you know, I was. But so that's definitely something, you know, just putting off writing. Just write a little bit. And, you know, as you write, more will come to you. You don't have to have it fully figured out. You can always go back and change it anyway. But it's better to write something, even if you think it's terrible, then better to write that than nothing.
Staring at a stop sign, watching
station, people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
The break, Isla Mel talks about some of her upcoming work, including a book about the history of the Tony Awards. Stay with us. We will be back after the break.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone. Connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Well, you've got book credits that include Designing Broadway, Project Runway, the show that changed fashion, and New York Fashion Week that you've already mentioned.
Right.
The designers, the models, the fashions of the Bryant Park era.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about that, about, you know, the expansion of those books and where that's led you.
I started out, like I told you, writing the books about movies and television and people auditioning and those stories. And so from there, I wanted to do something different. And I was invited to a fashion show. And everyone I know people who don't care at all about fashion offered to come with me. So I said, there's something there. People want to know what goes on at these fashion shows because, you know, they're not open to the public and there's an interest in that. So that got me interested in writing about fashion. And so that's what led me to write New York Fashion Week. And because of that, I was offered the chance to write and work with Project Runway, you know, the television show, to do their book. And so, I mean, that was thrilling because I had been a fan of that show from day one. So it was great. There was a period of time where watching Project Runway was my job, and that was wonderful. And, you know, so one project seems to lead to another. That led to the fashion journal, and then I did a book about shopping. And then, you know, lately I wanted a change. And because I was an actor and I come from theater, I really wanted to get back to those roots. And so I decided to ask someone I knew, a designer named Derek McLean, a set designer, to collaborate on a book about set design for Broadway, which is my book, Designing Broadway. And that's just been the most fun I think I've had in a very long time. So that's just been a wonderful project. And I have a book that I'm working on currently that is coming out in 2024, which is with the American Theater Wing celebrating 75 years of Tony Award winners. So it's very exciting.
Wow.
So people that and I got that because of a connection I made from the Project Runway book. So, you know, one book sort of leads to another, even if it's in an indirect way.
Yeah, that was the reason I wanted to ask that, you know, because they all seem to intertwine, you know?
Yes,
somewhat.
So I
was just wondering and curious how you did that, yeah.
Right, and, you know, they may seem unrelated, but there is a through line.
Right.
And, you know, if you see it, great. If not, that's fine, too. You know, I mean, fashion and theater are very similar to me. First of all, I love them both, but, you know, they're about presentation and their shows and their art. And so, you know, I don't see it as two very different things.
Right. So how do you, like, I know that everything intertwines and one leads to another, but what do you do to maximize the reader engagement?
Well, you know, thankfully I work with great PR, so I have help doing that. But, you know, I also, you know, I believe very much in all of my books, so it's easy to talk about them on social media. And, you know, I love promoting them. It's so much fun getting to talk to people like you and, you know, just really diving into them, doing appearances, you know, everything I can do, I'm happy to do because it's all part of the process and it's fun.
Yeah, it shows a lot of technical skills when you're able to really push it out there yourself and maximize. So
I feel like you have to now. Thank you. But I feel like that's all part of the job. You know, it's not, you can't just do one thing anymore. You have to sort of do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. And then my next question was, how do you remain innovative in your writing? So basically, you pretty much answered that. Because of how all of this comes together, one leads to another. That's how you stay innovative.
Right. And also because everything that I write about, I love so much. So it's just, it's really my passion. So that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way to market your books? You know, I know you said social media. But what is the best out of all of them to market the book?
Well, you know, I guess it can change at any moment, but I feel like Instagram is a really good way for books right now. Because there's not a lot of videos involved with books, although there can be. But, you know, especially the books that I do tend to have a lot of beautiful photos in them. And Instagram is, you know, all about photos. So I think it's a perfect way for me specifically for my books. to put them out there.
Yeah, Instagram.
But I think if you're doing something,
yeah,
right. If you're doing something where video is a big component, I guess TikTok would be the place right now.
Okay. Yeah, I always like to ask and see what, you know, with every field, you know, actors, you know, everybody, what do you use? What makes everything tick for you? Instagram just seems to be the leader in social media.
For me, absolutely. And I just think it's a great way to connect with people. It's led to so many different opportunities for me business-wise. And also personally, I've met so many fantastic people through it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been featured on CBS The Insider.
Yes.
In the New York Times, Marie Claire, Glamour, People Style Watch, Page Six, and the documentary Scatter My Ashes at Bergdorf's.
Yes, that was fun.
Congratulations. That's all
Thank
I have
you.
To say. Is congratulations. That is amazing.
Thank you.
You know, it just says a lot about you as a writer and what, you know, the work that you've done to get that much recognition.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I'm very serious about my work, very motivated. I'm a bit of a workaholic, which I think is fine. I'm very happy with that. You know, I just love what I do. So I every day I get to work and I get to do a book. I'm so appreciative. It's not lost on me after all this time.
Well, what's the best compliment that you've ever received?
So this is something that stands out to me. I was doing an appearance at the National Arts Club, and it was related to one of my books. And somebody came up to me and said, you know, I followed you for years, and now I get to meet you. And it touched me so much because it didn't occur to me that someone would feel that way. And that was just a huge compliment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's simple, but I can see where it would just get, you know, make you just melt, you know?
It did, because I didn't realize that I had touched someone in that way and that, you know, it meant enough for them to come out and come to see me at this event and then come up and tell me, you know, it's a big deal.
This is the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with writer Isla Mel continues. Stay with us.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When are you the most inspired?
Oh, boy. I don't know that there's when I get a good idea, it's just, I don't know. There's no warning. It's just if an idea hits me, very impulsive. So if I get a great idea or even not a great idea, I'll jump in. And then sometimes it doesn't work out, but many times it does. So, I'm not sure there's a pattern to it. It's just when something strikes me, I really go full force.
You just follow your instincts.
I do. I've been described as tenacious, which I think is cool.
That is cool. That's a good description. I like that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You are the co-host of the podcast Jiffy Pop Culture with Frank Biaggi.
So yes, my lifelong friend. We met at theater camp when we were like 12 years old, have been friends forever, and it's the most fun thing I think I've ever done. It's, we talk about pop culture, specifically movies, but we talk about everything, and it's just, we laugh, and we have listeners all over the world, which is crazy. And people just love it. They seem to think it's very funny. And, we get mail every single day. And it's such a joy.
How long did it take to grow your show to its current size?
We've only been going 2 years now. So it's taken the whole time because we're still relatively new. Not that new, but still,
right.
But it's hard to know with a podcast because, you don't really get a lot of information about how many listeners and, but we do get a breakdown of where our listeners are coming from and some numbers. So, and for us to even figure out how to look this information up took a while because we didn't know what we were doing. When we started, we thought we could just use like a regular recorder. We didn't even realize we needed something, a special recorder, for good sound. And we showed it to someone who had a podcast and she said, "You can't use this. It sounds terrible." And we said, "Oh no." So she said, "You have to get microphones. You have, we thought we could just wing it and record on our phone."
And just wing
so
it.
Exactly. So no, she showed us the proper way to do it. So, it took us a little bit to learn how to do it, but then we figured it out.
But once you got it, you got it. And you just aced
then
it.
Then we knew.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this Frank must be quite the character.
Oh my gosh. He's a stand-up comedian and an actor. And he's just probably the funniest person I have ever known. He's wonderful and just a great friend.
Oh, that's great. Well, I wish you much success with your podcast.
Well, thank
you. How can we find this podcast? Look it up.
It's everywhere. It's Jiffy Pop Culture. So
okay.
It's like the popcorn, Jiffy Pop, and then culture, like pop culture. And you can just Google it, or we have an Instagram page. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. Everywhere you can find a podcast, we're there.
Wonderful. That's great for the listeners to know how to,
yes,
how to look it up. Yes.
And we have a lot of engagement with our audience. We have people who write in regularly to our Instagram. And so we talk about our listeners on the show, and, you know, they really love that. And so then we have a back and forth with them. And then we'll do some live Instagram lives. And, you know, they have a lot of input as to what films we talk about or TV shows.
Oh, good. So do you interview?
We're user friendly. Or,
yeah. So do you talk to celebrities on the show?
Sometimes we do. We've had Carol Burnett on. We've had John Patrick Shanley, the playwright and screenwriter. He wrote Moonstruck, which, and Doubt, and directed that movie. We had Carney Wilson. So, yeah, sometimes. We don't normally do interviews, but every once in a while we will.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
What's the biggest learning experience that you've had?
Work-wise or life-wise?
Both. What's been?
Well, I mean, by far the biggest learning experience was when my mother was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, you know, I was with her every step of the way. She lived with me. I took care of her, you know, all the way to the end. And that, you know, your parents teach you so much. And then at the end, they sort of teach you how to die. And that was just, it was huge. It was, you know, not a happy experience, but definitely there was a lot of value. And it was a very special time.
Wow. Yeah, I can see. My mother's getting elderly herself, you know. Yeah, I'm going through some of that. I mean, she's not ready to pass, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got to get ready for it, you know.
It's hard. And even when you know it's coming, when it actually comes, you're still not prepared.
I know. Yeah.
But it's hard. It's really, really hard.
So what about with your work? What have you learned? What's the biggest thing you've learned with your career?
So there are a couple of things. The first one is I've learned that you really have to follow your instincts. It
mm-hmm.
seems simple, but it's a really huge thing. You know, you'll get a lot of advice from people and advisors. And, you know, I take that into account a lot. But ultimately, I know what, you know, is the right decision for me and the right project. And then, you know, I read a lot, too, and I'm influenced by other writers, just even people who, you know, don't do what, especially people who don't do what I do, people who write fiction or playwrights, screenwriters,
mm-hmm.
you know, I try to absorb just good writing. And, you know, I think it's important just to observe as much as you can as a writer and experience too. So, you know what you're writing about.
Right. Right. What have you learned from being in this field that people should know?
In writing, you mean? Or do you mean fashion or theater?
All of it. You know, what
okay.
do you want to bring to the
so,
table to help? Yeah.
So I'll talk about writing. I think people don't realize how solitary an endeavor it really is. It's just you most of the time. And, you know, you'll work with an editor, but not really so much until the end in many cases. And so you're writing and it almost feels as if no one's ever going to see it because it's such an intimate experience. And then, you know, you put it out for the world to see, and it can be scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. It can be a lonely experience.
It can be. You know, you don't have coworkers. You don't really see people. So, and
right.
I work from home. I don't need an office. So it's really me just by myself for much of the time.
Mm-hmm. So you really have to just be self-motivated, which is a challenge.
Oh, my gosh. That's not a challenge for me, but I know it's a challenge for many people. You have to because, you know, I don't like to leave things to the last minute. Sometimes you can't help it, but deadlines, I'm very aware of deadlines. And, you know, I think writers need to be because you can't, it's hard when you're stressed about meeting a deadline to be your most creative. So I like to get as much done early on as I can. I think that that's very helpful.
Back, Ira Mel shares words of wisdom for up-and-coming writers.
I'll never forget the day I nearly died. I was a young journalist with a great career, starting a family. The only way we found out I had any kind of heart issue was when I went into sudden death. My coworkers sprung into action. They've recently been trained in life-saving CPR protocols developed by the American Heart Association. They're the ones that kept me alive until the medics came. They did many tests on me in the hospital after my cardiac arrest and created a treatment plan, all with research from the American Heart Association. I think unless you are a heart disease patient, you may not know how much work the American Heart Association does behind the scenes to save your life. Since my cardiac arrest, I've had two more children. I've watched all three of my children grow into adulthood. I'm gonna cry now. I graduate from college, my daughter got married. I have grandchildren, and I'm still here.
Learn more about the American Heart Association's work at helpheart.org.
What do you want to pass on as far as that people should know or learn about the fashion industry?
There's so much. It's very much a business and an art, but a business in this country, first and foremost. In Europe, it's a bit more about the art, but here it's really about the selling. And, it's not what it looks like when you're backstage. It's very different from when you're watching a fashion show. Models are super young. They come in off the street and they look like kids because most of them are. And then, they get into their hair and makeup and they look completely different. But, it's amazing what they look like when they come in. the clothes are as beautiful as you would imagine they are. But there's nothing like seeing them in real life, seeing how they move. It looks very glamorous and it can be, but it's a lot of work. Most designers are, like writers, they work in, it's somewhat solitary. I mean, they have help for sure, but it's not all parties and galas and the Met Ball. It's not all about that. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
And it's very competitive.
Oh, my gosh. It's so hard for a new designer to break through. So, so hard.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I go to quite a few fashion shows myself. And I know a lot of different designers, and I know how the business is, and it is very competitive.
And then the careers aren't that long in many, many cases. In most cases, designers come and go pretty quickly. And models, too. A model career is super short.
I know.
So, yeah, wow. you have to maximize the time that when you're hot, because unfortunately, most of them don't last long.
Right. It's a tough one.
It really is. There's very few designers like Michael Kors or Tommy Hilfiger who go on and on and on season after season.
Yeah, there are very few.
I've been to a lot of runway shows for designers that just don't show anymore. They're out of business.
It's a shame, but it does happen.
It is.
I know. It is.
Right,
I know.
And there's so much talent. But, I think that with social media, it's really changing the game, too, because designers don't necessarily need to be in a fashion show to show their work to the world anymore. You can put out a video, you can put your clothes out online, and you can grow an audience. So I think that's a game changer in a good way. It's more democratic, and you don't have to put up as much money as you would if you wanted to do a runway show, let's say.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. I didn't realize that a lot of them have steered away from the fashion shows.
Yeah, I think it's a result of the pandemic, but even before that, some designers just started to make films rather than put on a show. And, I think that's fine because most people, 99% of their audience won't be at the shows anyway. That's really, the shows are for buyers and press. That's who should be there anyway. It's really a glamorous trade show when you think about it.
Right. Kind of like a film festival.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay. Well, you have been great. I have really enjoyed this interview.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to bring up or mention or promote before we end?
I hope that people will look for Designing Broadway and Jiffy Pop Culture. I'm very proud of both of those.
That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Isla Mel. Isla has worked with many of the top names in fashion, including Michael Kors, Tommy Hilfiger, Donna Karan, Naomi Campbell, and more. She has been featured on CBS's The Insider, in The New York Times, Marie Claire, and Glamour magazines. You can listen to her podcast as co-host of Jiffy Pop Culture on Spotify with comedian Frank Liotti. Thank you for listening to The Bev Moore Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time, bye-bye.
You're vast like the ocean, yet the voices in your head have got you. You don't really know how powerful you are. Always in motion, I smile to myself as I watch you. You don't need to win me over, I've been yours. You don't need to dress it up, no, no. Don't need to put on airs to make me care. You got that golden touch, oh. I mean, I know you're scared, but are you aware? You are made of stardust, the universe inside you, yeah. A straight up miracle, it's so incredible how you sometimes can forget.
bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart.
You are my treasure.